Okay, good evening everyone. Welcome, ברוכים הבאים, שלום. I want to thank, as always, the great people here at YU Stern College. Stern College, the president, Rabbi Ari Berman, הרב דוקטור סטו הלפרין, הרב יעקב טאובס, מיכל הס, the great מיכל הס, she's on her way here with the pizzas in a minute, סטפני שטראוס, and אורי וסטריך, who takes care of the, is it working, live broadcasting, YouTube, Facebook, ברוך השם, we're there live. And you are more than invited to tell us where are you watching us from in Israel and all over the world. As always, we thank Karen Danieli. They are sponsoring this live broadcasting, and the great translator, Yoshua Siskin. Our thoughts, our prayers are with the people in New Jersey. Some were killed, some were wounded in this horrible attack just a few hours ago. It was the terror attack. It was something criminal that happened there. We don't know the details yet, but... where of course we'll dedicate the shiur for their refuah and for their ilui neshama. I think this week's parsha once again gives us like a map to nowadays Jews, modern Orthodox Jews who go out there and meet sometimes things we don't like, and I'm saying it in a polite way, things that we see them as a contradiction to our values, and sometimes it's our brothers, it's our sisters, it's Yaakov and Esav, they're brothers, biological brothers. And this week's parasha, Vayishlach, we really witness the meeting of these two brothers, the meeting between Yaakov and Esav, but really we're exposed to three conflicts. The commentators, when they look at this parasha carefully, they identify three different conflicts in one. I don't think the people here need me in order to summarize the whole story, but Yaakov is on his way back to Eretz Israel after 20 years in exile in Haran with Lavan and his two daughters, Rachel and Leah, and now he has a huge family. He goes back to the Holy Land, but it's not only Eretz Israel that is waiting, it's also Esav that waits there, and who knows what he's going to do. He was, you know, escaping 20 years ago, and now what? This meeting, of course, it's not only a physical meeting between two people, no. It's a meeting between two attitudes, two spiritual forces, two perspectives on life, represented by Yaakov and Esav, on the one hand, Yaakov, Esav on the other hand. We also see it's not only these two forces out there, external forces, it's also these two internal forces within us. And we remember the first time we heard there are these two kids, Yaakov and Esav, it said, "V'itrotzetzu abanim bekirva." They were fighting while Rivka was already pregnant. And these forces are within us until today. So let's talk about this clashing forces and how we need to understand them in order to prevail, you know, to first of all to identify ourselves with the right side, but also to know, as I said, it's like a map. It helps us understand our situation. So what we see here is three different conflicts, three different confrontations. The first one is, I called it hachanot lamifgash, the preparations for the meeting. How do you come, I mean, before you even meet your enemy or slash brother, how do you prepare yourself? What do you do? What is your attitude? The second conflict is not the physical one, it's the spiritual one. Ha'imut haruchani, okay? The meeting, Yaakov, and the angel, this weird figure, we don't know who he is, but he meets them there. Before he moves forward to the third confrontation, the real meeting, the real encounter, and the struggle for the future. So let's try and learn from these three scenes in our parasha. The first confrontation is, I would call it irat chet, okay, the fear of sin, versus self-confidence, excessive self-confidence, mul bitachon atzmi mufraz. We can really look at the verses and see how see the differences. Okay, just it is really sufficient to just look at the verses, the following verses, see the differences between these two brothers. Yaakov adopts the following attitude. That's the beginning of the parasha. Vayishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav. El Esav achiv arza seir sedeh edom. He sends these angels ahead of him to his brother. Yeah, that's his attitude. I want peace. I don't want to fight. I don't want a war. He sends them And he tells them, tell him, תגידו לו, כה תאמרון לאדוני לעשיו, כה אמר עבדך יעקב, you are the master, I'm the servant, עבדך יעקב, עם לבן גרתי, ואיחר עד אתה, ויהי לי שור וחמור, צון ועבד ושפחה, ויש לך להגיד לאדוני, once again, you are the, okay, you are the master, למצוא חן בעיניך, to find favor in your eyes, okay? Notice the words, the attitude, how gentle and polite and nice and friendly Yaakov is. But the answer is not so positive. וישובו המלאכים, they go back, all these angels too, he sent them, Yaakov sees, they come back. בנו אל אחיך אל עשיו, we came to your brother Esav, and he's also coming toward you, but with 400 men, okay, are with him. 400 men of war, warriors, soldiers. Yaakov became very frightened, and he was distressed. Vayira Yaakov meod vayetzer lo. The Midrash says, why was he afraid of Esav? He was afraid of the sin. Yaakov became very frightened, okay, and he said, oh no, he says, perhaps my sins will be the cause. Ulai hachet igrom. Maybe I will suffer now as a consequence of my sin. That's his attitude. It's not a sav. It's me. Maybe I'm not in the perfect level, in a higher level. Maybe I've sinned during these 20 years in Lavan. What I see here is someone who is not afraid to be afraid. Think about it. Usually our heroes are like so cool, so strong, a lot of self-confidence. They are machos. Look at the politicians, yeah, today. Someone asked me once again, I forgot, to also dedicate the shiur to the refuah shleima of the political system in Israel. I really think, yeah, amen. I really think that's the right tefillah we need right now. Look at our politicians. I'm perfect. I'm so strong. I'm a macho. I'm cool. I'm afraid. I'm afraid to sin. I'm afraid I'm not perfect. I'm weak. I'm imperfect, okay? Yaakov, he is our national hero, okay? He is our role model. We call him Yaakov Avinu. He is our father. Why? Because he fears sin. Hu yere chet. It's not a shame. We shouldn't be ashamed to say, yeah, we're afraid to sin. And notice, by the way, that it happens when he wants to go into Eretz Israel, okay? It is really connected to the merit of our claim on Eretz Israel, okay? We should be in a high enough level in order to deserve this country. That's his spiritual approach. And what he does now, Yaakov, and once again, that's the attitude of a real tzaddik. We see there is really a rasha versus a tzaddik here. So what Yaakov does, and it's a beautiful, I think, tip, like a piece of advice Yaakov like gives us. Look at what he's doing. He is really struggling now, right? There's an enemy here with 400 soldiers walking, moving toward him. What will he do? Vayachatz, listen to this. Vayachatz et ha'am asher ito, ve'et ha'tzon, ve'et ha'bakar ve'hagmalim, lishnei machanot. Vayomer, im yavo esav el ha'machane ha'achat ve'hikahu, ve'haya ha'machane ha'nishar lifleta. This is a beautiful philosophy, okay? If Esav comes to one camp and strikes it down, the remaining camp will escape. Ve'haya ha'machane ha'nishar lifleta. Something small will remain, will be left, and this will also be good. This will also be sufficient. And so many commentators write about it, but I think the one who is really so identified with that approach is, of course, Rabbi Nachman of Breslev, and he sees the hidden meaning in this pasuk, okay? Yaakov, let's look at what Rav Nachman says, okay? We'll translate it together. V'haya machane notar lifleta. And the remaining camp will escape. When you see it's hard, when you see it's difficult, to find the complete solution to a problem that we face, okay? What should we do? It makes sense to settle for half a solution so that, in any case, there will be a remaining camp, ha'machane ha'nishar lifleta, for us, and hope will not be completely lost, heaven forbid. Something will remain, something small, tiny. It's not so, okay, but it's something. And he continues here, Rav Nachman, and gives us a tip. Now he talks directly to us. Hiye chazak b'da'ato. A person, a man, should be really, has desire to, he should be strong, that doesn't matter what happens, I should grab, I should catch, I should take. Rav Nachman uses the word lachtof. You know what they say it in Yiddish? Chap. I hear it a lot here. The Americans use it. Chap. Chap arayin. Litfos. Lachtof. Something small. I just catch it. Catch it. Lachtof. Why? Et yagea bekol kochi. Lachtof eize tov. Kol yom imechayai. Every day at least try to grab something small to catch. Just not to live in an attitude that says, okay, if I don't have everything, I have nothing. And Yaakov, this small tip, I think really today, as people who are educated, you know, to achieve, to go higher, further, to be, you know, the winners of everything. No, gam ktsat zetov, Reb Nachman says, even a little bit is also good. We should just grab, you know. And the Chafetz Chaim, his students, quote, the Chafetz Chaim once was asked, a student of him came and told him, I did not have kavana during the tefillah. During all tefillat amidah, tefillat shmona esre, nothing. I didn't mean every word I said. What should I do? You know what the Chafetz Chaim told him? No problem. I wish you will have a kavana when you say aleinu. Aleinu l'shabach, the last part of the tefillah, you still have aleinu l'shabach. Grab something, catch something, tachtof something small, it's enough. Yaakov, and it's hard. It's half of his family. Although it's really hard, he, you know, designs the camp in a way something will remain. There's another secret, of course, in Yaakov's attitude, and that's prayer, tefillah. Okay, it's not just any prayer, it's Katonti, the famous tefillah, which was composed, by the way, by the talented Israeli musician Yonatan Razel. He has a beautiful song called Katonti. I highly recommend, not now, but go on YouTube and find it. So he davens, he said to Hashem, he goes back to Eretz Israel, and of course he will not do it before he davens. Katonti mikol hachasadim umikol haemet asher asita et avdecha. I am not worth it. I don't deserve it. Okay, you gave me so much. You gave me almost too much. Okay, and then he also prepares a gift to Esav. Okay, we're just, you know, we are talking briefly about all these elements. We can really discuss and elaborate. Each thing here is a huge tool we should use. But then he prepares this gift. Okay, it's a show of wealth, okay, that will satisfy his eye. Yasbia et enav. Once again, there's something I think deep here. Vayten beyavad avadav eder eder levado, vayomer el avadav, ivru lefanai, verevach tasimu ben eder uven eder. He says to his servants, okay, pass on ahead of me and make a space between one herd and another herd. Every part of the camp, we should have a space, okay? Why? Why does it matter? He gives it as a gift to Esav, okay? It's the same amount of sheep, okay? If I have 10 sheep, I can do it. They could be concentrated, you know, all together, and I could, you know, in one place, or I can have a lot of space so it will look bigger, larger. The gift will look more impressive. And Rashi tells us something here about the eye of the Rasha. I think, unfortunately, it also describes our eye today. Eder lifnei chavero melo ein kedei lehasbia eino shel oto rasha. One herd before the next, within the distance, the eye can see, in order to satisfy the eye of the wicked man and bewilder him with the enormity of the gift. We try to impress him, but you know the truth is, in other words, what satisfies the eye of Esav, the evildoer? Nothing. Air, okay? Klum, wind, empty space. That's a scenario, that describes us. Many times we fool ourselves, okay? Empty space is nothing. But when we talk about the industry, the commercial industry, the advertising, all the campaigns I see on my way here to Manhattan, it all works. You know, this format, this system really makes us see things as more impressive than they are, okay? The giant boxes you buy here in America, I think, 50% air. Air. Revach tasimu. They put a lot of, it looks huge, it looks gigantic. No, there's nothing in it. Everything you see out there, it's just to lehasbia et ha'ayin, okay, to satisfy the eye. It says nothing about the content. It says nothing about the meaning of what you get. It's just to be more impressive, to show off. Show off. That's the first campaign who really teaches us to show off. Now, Esav walks, just imagine the scenario. Esav walks, Yaakov moves forward, and that's, as we said, it's just the preparation they both make in order to meet each other. So he walks with these 400 men, all, you know, with force, with readiness for war, and when opposite him comes Yaakov with an attitude of smallness, lack of worth, gratitude for everything, every little thing he has. And each of them expresses his situation differently. Yaakov says, Yaakov's approach is, yesh li kol. When they meet, Yaakov will say, he describes what he have, yesh li kol, I have everything. Esav says, yesh li rav. I have a lot. But it's never enough. I always want more. These two approaches, once again, it's Esav versus Yaakov, yesh li rav versus yesh li kol. Do I have everything I need and I'm happy and I'm satisfied? Or do I need, all the time I need more and never satisfied? I got a letter, a very touching letter from Israel in Hebrew, from a single guy, a ravak, age approximately 30 years old. And he wrote about this parsha. And he says for singles, I think he touches a true point here. I'll just read it and you'll listen. My name is this and this. I study in this and this university in the center of Israel. And I'm reaching out to you in order to bring up a central problem for me and many of my bachelor friends. The illusion of many choices. I'm sure people here are also aware to this problem. Of many possibilities that makes it difficult to establish a serious connection and to focus on one person. I would be happy if you would read this letter in your class, only without mentioning my name. So here it is. In this week's Torah portion, Esav pushes away the gifts offered to him. And Esav said, I have plenty, I have a lot. Yet Yaakov answers to Esav, answers him, take my gift, because God have favored me, and I have everything. I have everything, I have plenty. Here are two different perspectives to choose from. What I have is a lot, but can be a lot more, or I have everything. And similarly, regarding the subject that pains me, I'm on one date, but I'm thinking, there are a lot more dates I can go to, as opposed to deciding that I have everything. This will be my wife, with all her good qualities and deficiencies too. With her, I want to go forward. And after I choose her, I recognize that this is the best I could have done. I have everything. I do not need anything else. Lately, I've been doing some soul searching, checking myself. And really, when I think about it today, I want to settle down with a family, start a home, to establish my link in and the glorious chain of Am Yisrael. But I'm stuck deep in a pit, and the pit is empty, a borek, without water. As stated, I'm always checking myself. I'm serious. I take seriously every suggestion about moving forward in the right direction. But I wait with genuine expectation of marriage, family, and home. But my mind has not allowed this to happen. This is not only my problem alone, I'm sure. I spoke to many people on the campus. I think it's a cultural, social problem we're all facing. I've spoken to many people, and I think we should raise the issue to the general public, because it's not only about suggesting more, other possible shiduchim, more options, because the deepest thing is not to have more opportunities. It only makes things more complicated. It complicates the matter. I pray for myself and for myself and others that all of us will transition from a condition of I have a lot, yesh li rav, to the healthy transition of I have everything, yesh li kol. I think he's honestly touching something today in a society of wealth. Well, you have everything, when you can always choose, it's hard. It's hard to focus. And once again, we should choose the path Yaakov chose. So these are only the preparations we see. So we see two different people, two attitudes toward life. Now what? If it was a regular book, okay, the plot, they should meet each other finally. But our Torah always emphasizes there's something spiritual behind everything that is physical. So now we have a spiritual struggle. There's light versus darkness. There's Israel versus evil. What happens is Yaakov goes to sleep, and before he actually meets Esav, okay, and there's this battle. There's this really, I could say even a war, a spiritual war. Yaakov is alone. Vayivater Yaakov levado. And there's a man struggling with him throughout the night. Vayavek ishimo. But this man sees he cannot beat him. Vayarki lo yacholo. He could only touch his hip. Vayiga bechafi recho. And Yaakov became wounded, but he wasn't defeated. He wasn't, nobody destroys him, his legacy. He was just wounded. Vayomer shalcheni ki ala shachar. It's the dawn, you know, the sun. When the sun comes, he cannot be here in the light. It's the darkness is afraid, you know, when light comes. Yaakov says, lo shalchecha, I will not send you away, ki im berachtanu. Birachtani, you should bless me, should give me a bracha. So he asks him, once again, it's a symbolic event. He asks him, what is your name? And he says, Yaakov. Vayomer, lo Yaakov yamerot shimcha. Your name will not be Yaakov anymore. Ki im Israel. Ki sarita im elokim ve'im anashim v'tuchal. Yaakov receives a new name. Mazal tov, Baruch Hashem. You're not Yaakov anymore. Yaakov means in Hebrew, he will follow. He always follows, you know, after, chasing after Esav. That's not a nice name. Israel, it's a much higher name. Yashar El. He walks, he goes with Hashem straightforward. Israel, this is your name from now on. But now Yaakov asks him, what is your name? Hagid Anashimcha. And he just says, Lama zet tish'al lishmi? Why should you ask my name? He blesses him and goes away. Evil arrives, okay, and puts up a struggle. And it forces Yaakov to really have this battle, this combat. It's difficult. And Yaakov, as we said, is wounded. Now, Yaakov gets a higher, better, lighter, deeper name only, okay, from this encounter with this evil force. Evil, okay, is forced to admit that we are Israel, okay? He gives us our name. Esav, this figure represents Esav. He gives us our holy name, Israel, okay? When we ask him, what is your name? He will never answer. Why? Because in any generation, this enemy is different, okay? It could be this nation, this person, this bad trend in the world. Okay? It changes. Evil changes. It's disguised, you know, time and again. Now, this name Israel, it's a holy name. People usually say Israel as opposed to Yehudi. Ma ata yoter, Israeli or Yehudi? People like this question in Israel, like a social question. Okay? Do you identify yourself as an Israeli or as a Jew? But when we go to the original sense of the word Israel, it's the holiest meaning ever, okay? That's the name Yaakov received. To be someone who is Israel does not mean, oh, I'm not religious, I'm not observant, I'm Israel. I continue the legacy of Yaakov Avinu. This week, I had the privilege, I was invited to Florida. I just landed two days ago. I'm still jet lagged. Oh, this Shabbat, Bezrat Hashem, I know people always ask me afterwards, this Shabbat, Bezrat Hashem, I'm in Memphis, oh yeah. So we are more than invited if you're in the area. Anyway, I'm still thinking about Florida. So there was this huge event in Florida. They invited 4,000 Israelis, the IAC, Israeli American Council. It's a new organization led by Israelis who live here. They see themselves as a group that should have their own forums and organizations. Each organization here in the state, they have panels, committees, summit all the time. They have events. So the Israelis in America also wants to take it seriously. And they established the Forum Israeli-Americai, the Israeli-American Forum. So they invited thousands of Israeli, a lot of Israeli music, Israeli food, Israeli atmosphere. And I was asked to talk there. And I spoke, only now do I realize it's really about the parasha, about the essence of the name Israel. But I told them, they spoke to so many Israelis there. And, you know, let's be honest, the Israelis here are facing hard problems, especially assimilation. Some say, I mean, there are a lot of researchers and, you know, the facts are not so clear, but they assimilate. Okay, I can't tell you now if they assimilate more than any other stream. I think so, but I don't have it, you know, I don't have the scientific way to prove it. But yeah, it's a problem here. Israelis are not used to send their kids to Jewish schools. They're not used to pay, your crazy tuition, sorry, they're not used to pay or go to a shul, if they're not dati. Here, a shul, it's also a cultural, social center. There's so many differences between the Americans and the Israeli Americans. So I told them, I spoke to many of them there. Deep conversations. We had one, of course, in the media, they all talked about Trump's speech. I was there. More than 1 hour, I think it took, almost an hour, Trump was talking. It was really fascinating, but that's maybe some other time. We'll discuss this really surprising speech he gave there. But I spoke after the speech, I stayed there, and I spoke to many, many Israelis. And they all shared the same, I think, emotions and conclusions after so many years here in the state. I don't judge them. I don't ask them, I don't judge, why are you here? Why are you betrayed? Why did you leave Israel? It's not my job. I talk to them. I listen to what they have to say. So one lady there, one woman from LA, more than 30 years in LA, raised her kids there, of course, public schools. She said two deep sentences, and I took them back home with me from Florida. And I think that's the real essence of the word Israel in our parasha. The first sentence she shared was, Bisli and Bamba is not enough. You know what Bisli and Bamba is, right? You don't have it in your cafeteria down here, but Bisli and Bamba, the Israeli snacks, so it's not enough. She came to LA, she thought it's enough, she can buy her kids Israeli candies, Cafe Elite, she said, Osem, Shkede Marak, all the brands, sorry for, it's not a commercial break, but Bisli, Bamba, Israeli chocolate, for me, what I miss the most is not Bisli and Bamba, there are a lot of snacks here, too much. I really miss the cottage cheese. That's the good Israeli normal cheese. Here it's really, I told you, I think in the past, here you can eat the box or the cheese. It makes no difference. I mean, it's just the same. I'm sorry. And in Israel, it's the land of milk and honey. Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. It's different. So anyway, she said, Bisli and Bamba are not enough. It's not enough. Meaning, we should create a deeper identity. She even said, Static and Ben El, it's also not enough. These are really popular Israeli singers. But she said they're not, even the holy Static and Ben El, it's not enough. Listening to clips, showing the kids videos, Israeli music, it's shallow, it's superficial. At the end of the day, it does not create a real identity. So she said, only now do I realize I had to work much harder years ago. And then she added a second sentence. By the way, she discovered all this when she was in Israel. She was a part of this delegation, the Momentum, Jewish Renaissance. They take women to Israel, like Taglit, but for mothers. So she was in Israel, and she came back with this second conclusion. She said, HaShoah is not enough. The Holocaust is not enough. She said, I always tried to shape, to base our identity on threats. Usually I told my kids, they all hate us. There was the Holocaust, the Shoah, there's Iran, Palestinians, Hezbollah, rockets, missiles, BDS, anti-Semitism, pogroms. Psh, how attractive, really. Don't you want to identify with such a beautiful, beautiful religion? And the real thing she said is to understand, we shouldn't base our identity on the law, on the no. I hate you, no. We should base it on the ken. What's meaningful, what's positive, what's attractive in our identity. It has nothing to do with anti-Semitism, okay? Who are we, okay? Don't talk about your enemies, talk about you. Who are you? What are your values? She shared these two beautiful sentences with me, and I got on the stage there and just quoted her words. I think it's really the real essence to be Israel today. When you ask yourself, what is an Israeli? Here, you get a sense of Israeliness from Yaakov Avinu. That's his mission, to become Israel. So what do you do? Okay, so the Shoah is not enough. Bisli and Bamba is not enough. So what should I do? Here's the answer. How is your Chinese? Huh? Anyone can read this? Okay, so this beautiful three words in Chinese, these words describe Judaism. That's how they say in Chinese, Yahadut or Yehudim, Jews. Okay, it's a smart nation, the Chinese nation, and they know something if that's the way they define us. And it says here, I'll say it in Hebrew first, Dat Hasarat Hagid, the religion of removing the thigh tendon, the Gid Anasheh, you know what it is? Gid Anasheh. That's how they call us, the Chinese. Dat Hasarat Hagid. It's quite weird. I mean, they could call us in so many other ways. The kids of Abraham, the students of Moshe, the pupils of Aseret HaDibrot, the people of Israel, the people who went out from Egypt, so many, the people of the Torah. There's so many ways to describe us. Why do you choose this, that Hasarat Agid, the religion of removing the Gid and Asheh? What? Chinese are not stupid. They know something we might forget. Yaakov, at the end of the quarrel, the end of the fight, he got the bracha, but it's not enough. He takes something practical out of it. He takes something tachlis. It's called a mitzvah. At the end of the day, philosophies are great. Ideologies, agendas, narratives, they're all great. What do you do? What do you do in the tachlis field, okay? What do you take upon yourself? What do you decide to do practically? Yaakov, there's a mitzvah we learn from this event. This angel does not just go. He touched Yaakov, Gid and Asheh, and from then, we do not eat it. When it comes to halakha, to shechita, you know, to kosher animals, to kosher food, to kosher meat, we don't touch this part of anything we eat, you know, when it comes to meat. Until today, it's part of our, and we see it when we sit and eat. We don't see it physically, but if we know the shechita, the kashrut laws, it's part of our laws until today. So in this dark night, we do not only get a bracha, we do not only get a name, we get a mitzvah, one of the first mitzvot in the Torah, because in Sefer Bereshit, we usually do not have mitzvot, kimat, at all. Almost every week we see we do not have any positive or negative mitzvot. And now, Yaakov is transforming this event into something we will always, always remember. And the Chinese, when they describe us, use this beautiful way of describing us as Jews. I think it's a really correct, one of our, I would say, one of the ways to define us. We take the hugest ideology and making it, you know, remembering it in the practical, tiniest details, really the smallest details ever. Okay, let's move forward to the third, I would say, battle here, the third conflict. Finally, they meet each other, finally. Yaakov is here, Esav is here. Imagine, Esav comes with 400 soldiers. Yaakov comes with a huge family. Esav is surprised. What is it? Why do you bring your kids to the battlefield, the women to the battlefield? What's going on here? That's Yaakov's weapon. This is his army, okay? These are his people. This group represents who he is. And when they meet, okay, Yaakov sees Esav with his 400 people, okay? And once again, he divides the camp, as we said, and he organizes everything. There's Leah, there's Rachel, the kids. They're all all prepared. And then he bows, v'ishtachavu sheva pe'amim, and he comes to his brother with so much, you know, dignity, respect, kavod. He runs, and Esav runs toward him. V'yaretz Esav likrato, v'yechabkehu, he hugs him. He falls on his neck. He kisses him. They both cry. This is a very exciting moment. This is a very dangerous moment, okay? Just a few psukim ago, we thought we're going to a battle, to a war. That's one dangerous thing. The minute your enemy does not hate you, your enemy loves you, this is also very dangerous. Harav Avigdor Miller writes, it's one of the most dangerous moments in the Torah, if not the most dangerous one. The minute Esav offers Yaakov, come, join me, live with me, walk with me, let's be together as two brothers, one family, it's a very dangerous moment, because if Yaakov will agree, it's the end of Yaakov, okay? So, and once again, sometimes we face anti-Semitism, and that's a threat, that's a problem. Sometimes we do not face anti-Semitism, and we assimilate. People just tell us, join us. We're so nice. We're so, you know, positive toward you. Come, join us. Vayomer Esav, nisa venelcha, venelcha lenegdecha. Let's move. Let's travel. I'll go with you. I will go alongside you. Yaakov, Baruch Hashem, refuses. Once again, a very symbolic moment of will Yisrael, the new Israel, join Esav, or will he put firm boundaries, borders, you know, fences, rules? There's a red line here. I don't want a war, but I also don't want this mixture of you and me together. So Yaakov refuses. He says, no, I can't. And then a crucial verse appears. And I think once again today, it's one of us, our deepest weapons, I would say. Yaakov says, here, look at this pasuk, okay? Ya'avor na Adoni lifnei avdo, ve'ani, go, my master, go ahead before his servant. He still respects him. I'm the servant. Go. Why? And I will move at my own slow pace, according to the pace of the work that is before me, and according to the pace of the children, until I come to my master, to Seir. V'ani et nahala le'iti, לרגל המלאכה אשר לפניי ולרגל הילדים עד אשר אבוא אל אדוני סעירה. That's a very deep message, okay? Our sages, our rabbis all explain. What is the לרגל המלאכה? לרגל המלאכה, מלאכת השבתות, חזל say, מלאכה is work that had to be done. The work of the שבתות, of the holidays, the חגים, the יום טוב. The work of studying Torah, ללמוד Torah, to learn. This is לרגל המלאכה. And what is לרגל הילדים? To take care of the family, of the wife, of the house, educating all of them. We have two missions, okay? Torah, family. Yaakov, in essence, is saying, Esav, I'm not quick like you, okay? And I'm not embarrassed by that. אני את נהלה לאיתי. לאט in Hebrew means slow. I will move at my own slow path. That's a beautiful perspective and outlook on life, especially today, okay? There's a gap between the pace of our ancestors who really worked mostly in agriculture and, you know, it all takes time, and our own pace of work, you know, that is huge and increasing. Think about our life today. V'ani et nahala le'iti. I want to do it slower. Everything is out there. Times Square, just a few minutes from here. Everything is shining, bright, lights, tempting, accessible, available, nice, impressive. V'ani et nahala le'iti. I have my Shabbatot, I have my kids, I have my values. I realized a few days ago that we almost beg the world to let us do it in our own slow pace. I started looking at, you know, how people describe themselves on WhatsApp, you know. When you touch the profile, you always have this definition, this one line they write. I checked. So many people, men, women, young, old, they beg. They really, they ask us, leave us alone. We have our own slow pace. Look at this, just one example, okay? If I'm not responding in like 30 minutes, please don't send me a question mark, okay? That's one message. I saw another thing. כן, לא לשלוח סימן שאלה אם לא הגבתי תוך חצי שעה. Someone else begs, he's a father of three. משתדל לשים את הטלפון בצד כשאני בבית. אנא התחשבותכם, he's banging us with this, you know, emoji of a house, please. When I'm at home, I try to put it in another room. I don't want it with me. Please, I beg you. I understand, you know. Or, that's a beautiful one, אם אני לא עונה מיד, סימן שאני בן אדם. If I didn't respond immediately, it means I am a human being. I'm a person. Okay, these are just examples. My friends, my phone. I think we beg the world to let us do it slower. More, like, really, with sanity, in a healthier way. It's too fast for us. This is a Sav's rhythm. It's not our pulse. It's not the way we, as Yaakov's descendants, we do it differently, in a deeper, more meaningful way. And I saw, you know, many friends, I asked them about this, you know, sentence Yaakov says. They all said they feel there's like this contradiction today. What you do out there and what you do in there, there's a huge contradiction. I asked a friend, she's an accountant, and she said, I work with numbers all day. That's so fast, so, you know, effective. The lines, I organize the documents, I print it, I, you know, prepare all the accountant's reports and everything. Is like, you know, now I should go back home and I should persuade a child to get in the shower. That's a completely different field. So different. Slower, more, I think, once again, more harder. Okay, it's different. It requires different skills. another friend, a computer programmer, she told me something really similar. She said, home is a total opposite, is the total opposite of work. All day long, I give commands, write codes, develop programs, talk to adults. Then suddenly, in a minute, I become the manager of, I don't know, I run a kindergarten, okay? I enter home, and I'm a kindergarten teacher, okay? You need patience. You need, it's different. You need a different, as I said, path. As a journalist, I feel it every day. What do I do as a journalist? I'm obligated to edit, you know, to shorten when it's needed, to create headlines. When you talk to your kid, it's not an interview, okay? You do not need to think about the headlines. No, it's a completely different type of conversation. I will move at my own slow pace, Yaakov says, and these words, I think, are really, really, really affect our life today. Everything is sparkling out there, but we do it differently. When will Yaakov and Esav meet? At the end of the day, you know, how much time this tension will last? We usually don't look at the Haftarah here, but this week, I think the Haftarah can really complete the picture, complete the message, okay? All the commentators say, until the days of Mashiach. Rashi also said, Ad she'avo el Adoni Seira, it will happen in many years. You will be the fastest, brilliant, impressive, you know, up-to-date brother. It's okay. Esav is much more trendy. I don't care. You will always think I waste time. You know, if you are Shomer Shabbat, you waste seventh of your time. I don't waste it. I see things differently. I have my perspective. It's okay. If I keep all the chagim, all the holidays, all the mitzvot, if I waste my time learning Torah, waste my time to raise a family, I'm not wasting my time. I have a different clock, a different watch. It's a different circle of you know, the pulse of my time is different. And at the end of the day, they separate. Baruch Hashem, they split. Esav goes to Seir. Yaakov is building a sukkah and goes to Shechem and goes to Sukkot. Okay? There's no war here, but there's also, they don't merge. They don't live together, Baruch Hashem. They're separated. That's the end of the plot this week. But eventually, our all the commentators say, B'imot HaMashiach, eventually, the final redemption, Yaakov, you should see it in the beautiful Psukim in the Haftarah, Yaakov's approach will win, will take over, will be the mutual approach we will all share. Let's just summarize the three messages we saw here, okay? First mission, as we said, fear of sin should really, it's okay. I mean, it's much better than exaggerated self-confidence. We saw these two approaches. Don't be afraid to be afraid. It's okay. And really live with the attitude that we have enough. I don't need. I have everything. I have Yeshli Kol. It's enough. And find our Shiduch, Be'ezrat Hashem, in this way. Second, to remember, it is a spiritual struggle. Everything you see here, it's just this shallow. There are deeper layers down there. And we need to strengthen our perspective on life, to reinforce it, and to also see how we can build ourselves up within this struggle. We represent Israel, the original, genuine Israel, okay? And we should be aware of the meaning of the word. It's not just the state of Israel has declared to, decided to go on third elections in 1 year. No, it's much deeper than that. Baruch Hashem. And third, we should remember that we could have gone with Esav, but our ideology is different, slower, deeper, okay? And this is the Jewish way. At the end of the day, it is successful, Be'ezrat Hashem. Look where the children of Esav are, and look at us, the children of Yaakov, the children of Yaakov today. Next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, it's, pay attention, it's the last shiur here, okay? It's the end of the semester. Afterwards, there's Chanukah and the test and the week. There's a lot of events that are happening here. So it's the last time we meet here. We will inform you. Of course, there are a lot of other shiurim and places. But so we have last shiur here next week, Tuesday, 6 English and 7 in a few minutes, the Hebrew version of the shiur. Thank you very much. Thank you. Shabbat shalom. Toda rabba. And toda. And you can see here, if you want to get all the information, the next shiurim that are coming up in all over North America, that's the way to subscribe. Can you show it, Uri, for a few seconds? Israeli number, American number, you're more than welcome to subscribe and get all the content. Toda rabba. Thank you very much. Thank you.